To say John Newton was a wretch would be an understatement. He was 11 when he followed his father into the seafaring trade. By his late teens, he had been kicked out of the Royal Navy for misconduct. Even among sailors, he was known as a troublemaker. Although he had a reputation as an excellent ship's pilot, he was renowned for his cursing and drinking. In 1748, he was hired to captain a slave ship. Midway on their journey from the west coast of Africa to England, they encountered a vicious storm. He recorded in his journal that when all seemed lost and that surely the ship would sink, he exclaimed, much to his own surprise, "Lord, have mercy upon us." Miraculously, they survived the storm. Later, reflecting on the experience in his cabin, John Newton wrote that he became keenly aware of his own wretchedness. He felt stuck in his destructive behaviors. He knew that participating in the slave trade was loathsome. He believed that God had addressed him through the storm and that grace was moving his life in new directions. Later, he would write, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace has brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home." Those brief revelations when everything becomes clear, if only for a moment, when we have an acute sense of our own intransigence, are a gift from God. Knowing we are stuck frees us to move and to grow and to go in new directions. Over the next several weeks, movement from lost to found, from blindness to sight, will be a theme in the Bible stories assigned for Sundays. This is, after all, the Easter season, a time when we focus our attention on the ways that the resurrected Christ is revealed to us in the world. For a Christian, movement and growth are evidence of life, experiences of the resurrection. The phrase "road to Damascus experience" has become synonymous with having a life-altering event, so much so that the phrase has become a cliche in motivational speeches. There was a time when I secretly longed for a road to Damascus experience, or even a plain old burning bush. I knew I was stuck, and I also knew that God was urging and nudging me to move, but I wanted a definitive word. I have come to believe that this falls into the "be careful what you pray for" category. Those I know who have had such occurrences, while they are grateful for their experience of resurrection, they would never wish such a violent upending on anyone. I would imagine that God tried innumerable times to get Paul's attention before God knocked him off the horse to the ground and temporarily blinded him. Rather than being the prototype for divine prodding, Paul's encounter on the road to Damascus is a reminder that God meets us where we are and deals with us according to who we are. I have this feeling that if we had had the opportunity to meet Paul prior to his trip to Damascus, we would have found him entirely insufferable, a man in need of a major intervention. I believe a caveat is in order here. We must be wary of confusing or conflating road to Damascus experiences where God smacks us upside the head and speaks to us with the violent storms of life, which God can and will work through to bring resurrection to our lives. Do not think for a minute that God actually set raging seas upon John Newton's ship in order to get his attention. Lives were lost. Terrible damage was done. God does not work that way. God will, however, meet us in and work through the disasters of our lives to bring new life. Whether we are stuck in life's wreckage or trapped in the seeming banality of existence, God is there. Stuck is fertile ground for growth. So, when does a well-worn path become a rut? Peter denied being Jesus' disciple 3 times. Was Peter stuck in the rut of fickle discipleship? Passionate and devout in Jesus' presence, but fearful and timid when he wasn't in church? We all know how much easier it is to stand firm in our faith and affirm our faith here than it is to stand up for the boy being bullied, or to squelch hurtful gossip, or to look a homeless woman in the eyes out there. Peter's denial sounds spectacular when told as a part of the Passion story, but I think we all know better. Denying our faith is a mundane rut in which we can all get stuck. We deny Jesus all the time. Here again, in everyday human complacency, Jesus meets Peter and us right where we are. 3 times Peter denied Jesus. 3 times Jesus questioned Peter's love, and 3 times Jesus affirmed Peter's faith and blessed him for ministry. Perhaps you notice, too, the subtle yet distinct differences in the blessings that Jesus offered Peter. 2 times, Jesus told Peter, "Feed my sheep." But he threw in, "Attend my sheep" as well. Was Jesus just mixing things up, or did he have something in mind? Was Jesus telling us how to tend the soil of our souls for growth? Peter was forgiven and blessed not only to be a leader, a shepherd charged with feeding the sheep, but also as a follower, a good disciple who tends to his relationship with God and follows Jesus. I grew up on a farm in rural Minnesota. For most of that time, the road that led to my farm was gravel. Gravel roads need to be graded regularly. They need to be tended to, or deep ruts form in the road. One could easily get stuck. The same is true for our souls, our lives. Unless we tend to our relationship with God, we will get stuck in the ruts of our neglect and our well-worn ways. Whether we are talking about the faith of an individual like Peter or you or me, or whether we are talking about the vitality of a church or even a diocese, stuck is never a place to which we intend to go. If you have read our most recent newsletter, you know that the Episcopal Diocese of Washington is undertaking a strategic planning process. To that end, Bishop Marianne has engaged the services of the Unstuck Church Group. In his book, The Unstuck Church, Tony Morgan, the founder and lead strategist at the Unstuck Group, reminds us that Jesus gave us a mission. In Matthew's gospel, Jesus said, "Go, make disciples." When churches lose sight of that mission, when we become more concerned about keeping the people inside our church happy than we are about bringing new people to our church, we get stuck. Getting unstuck always, always, all caps, involves change, movement. As Bishop Mary Ann and the strategic planning team undertake this work at the diocesan level, your vestry is engaging in this work here at St. John's. We might consider looking at our own lives. Where are we stuck? Have you drifted away from God's call on your life? Just as he did with Peter, Jesus is waiting there on the shore to welcome us back. When we move from lost to found, from blindness to sight, by the grace of God, we experience spiritual growth and the resurrection becomes real and tangible in our own lives. That is something to sing about. And that is just what John Newton did. Please sing along. I'm betting you know the words. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
When Jesus forgave people, Peter. Peter was able to go on and do all kinds of wonderful things to help us become the church. So that's why forgiveness is such an important thing. Thank you for coming up. I'm so glad you're here.
Your mercy is great.
We commend these and all our prayers to you, O God. Come near to us with your saving help. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Those desiring the laying on of hands for healing are invited to come forward at this time. The peace of the Lord be always with you.